And you've never talked to her? She does not. Is she one of these people who you have talked to this kind of stuff before?
I've never talked to her about that before.
Oh, okay. But you've known her in other.
I know her as my neighbor's daughter. Oh, okay. And they're very Christian.
No, I thought this was a
very
patient.
Christian.
She is a patient.
Good.
She came as a patient for depression.
But she's very Christian. I think that's interesting. And you went for it anyway.
Yeah.
Christians, actually, when you hit them with loner body, they're pretty good with that.
And
okay.
It was interesting because, she's like, this makes so much more sense than the God stuff.
Oh, no
kidding. I know, right?
That's funny.
How cool.
Very cool.
She's like, it never made so much sense to me. This makes sense. I was like, oh, everybody should know this.
Maybe they will.
Yeah.
She might bump up against her parents.
Hmm.
Everybody
right.
does.
She's an adult now. So.
Yeah. Everybody does.
Did you get paid?
I didn't even charge her. I was like, no, we didn't do treatment. And I did, we just talked. I'm not even gonna charge you, but come back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you might have just locked her in because she likes your approach. She can talk to you. I mean, I always find if there's a doctor or a healthcare provider I can talk to, that's a good step for me. If I can't talk to them, I don't care how skillful they are. So yeah.
That's the trust that we were talking about.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
Yeah.
Don't fight against the wall.
One of these days I am going to cook dinner.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Spaghetti?
I guess.
Biscotti?
Biscotti. With fake vegetarian meat. I don't know what Roger can eat or not eat.
Mm.
Well, Monday night will be a little delayed when we started.
Hmm. Nobody else called in yet. Mark showed up.
Because he came down here,
and then
we waited for a while. And
yeah. Well, we were doing it for a while.
Oh, God.
I gave her my book. Read this.
Huh?
I gave her the book that I have.
Oh, the little piece of it? Yeah.
But just read this, it's good. Yeah, but Jim might go to sleep anyways right over there.
So everybody else is here that usually calls in, right?
Yeah,
Carola.
So. Carola, Angela, maybe. Or Ash should Skype up to see if she's there.
Carola,
I think
we'll
And who else? I don't know who else is there. Ron's quiet.
I was talking to Denise on the way here. She'll probably call in.
Okay. Is she on a trip somewhere?
No, she moved.
New
England,
New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Oh, she's a permanent resident? Oh, I didn't know that. I thought she was just traveling. Wow.
Salad dressing, that's
good. You guys haven't had dinner yet?
What?
You guys haven't had dinner yet?
No.
What is that?
Hey, Dudley.
I'm going to use that for me.
So a massage therapist is asking if her patient brings in cannabis oil. Will she get in trouble? Like, can she legally use it for massaging her patient?
There's somebody.
Who?
Just a massage therapist.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's on the phone?
Who just came in?
Oh. Oh, the patient is bringing it in.
Yeah.
With a prescription for it?
Oh. Can she apply it?
Oh, that could be, Roger, that could be for Sam. She's going to call me.
It's
their oil.
Yeah.
That's somebody new. That wasn't me.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. We got
this,
that.
You know. Interesting question, isn't it?
Who is somebody new?
I imagine it's for Sin.
Huh?
For Sin, yes. But she never says anything when she's on this thing.
It's Denise, and I don't have a good connection, so I'm in and out.
Ah,
oh,
Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hi.
How's Cactus Country?
Cactus Country. Nah, she's not really in Cactus Country.
It's,
she's in the mountains.
It's really...
It's what?
Yeah, it's like 8,500 feet up. It's like high desert, but right where I'm at, it's trees and mountains. Lots of trees and mountains.
Well, the one time I was there, it was just absolutely beautiful, wherever I was in the state.
Cow shit all over the ground.
No, New Mexico, where I was, it was beautiful. It was tall, bright green cactuses and bright blue sky and bright white clouds. It was amazing. I never seen anything like it. I don't know exactly where I was. Greyhound stopped by there.
I drove through, yeah.
Yeah, right? They let us stop there and walk around. So I had to go touch the cactus, right, just to see what it's like. I got stuck. Can you believe that?
Yeah, no cactus. Wonder.
So who's going to lie and tell Denise for half of it? That's really interesting.
It is really interesting.
You gotta say it as if it's meaningful.
I have gained some key clarifications here. What it was that you said was it last night or this morning about eternal self is emerging. I didn't know that.
What was that?
And what is that? Oh, I think
what was the context of that?
Well, I guess I've been looking for...
Hey!
Can Roger point to, like, tell me what it is I'm doing? Anyway, when I'm doing it, or I just want to know where I'm looking. And he just pointed out, yeah, that's cause and effect thinking. You can't do that. It's emergent. And that just...
Thank you, sweet lady.
I think helped me a lot.
So you don't have to look anymore, Andrew? Because it's emergent?
Not how I was. I thought it was some particular thing I was doing or not doing or whatever. I was going at it in a cause and effect way, which his point was, that'll never help. That'll never get you understanding.
So what are you doing instead? I'm curious.
Well, I guess it's emerging from how I live my life. Well, one of the things we talked about, another thing that I thought was a good clarification was this is not about extraordinary experiences of enlightenment. This is a slow, consistent process to everyday...
And ordinary.
Yeah, ordinary, everyday, eternal awarenesses.
And so emergence, ordinary, and slow.
Yeah, but it's not going to be like it's not going to be like some kind of extraordinary experience that is here for a little while and fades away, like most of them do. There's been several really. I think key discussions we've gotten to have.
Well, thanks for sharing. That's cool. I like how you guys explain that.
How do you like it in your new place?
How do you know emergent self?
What?
How? I mean, eternal self. How do you know eternal self?
Where were you Tuesday, Saturday? things you're proud of.
Is that okay? Is that the only thing you use?
When somebody wants to know specific, yes.
Do you do that too? Like, ask, was I proud of that? Am I proud of doing this? And then follow the pattern? Use that in your life?
What?
You use that in your life? Proud things? Proud doings?
Yes, I asked about this, and when I said no, I went back and added the religion. Because that whole section and everything that was said wasn't in there.
That's a good chapter. Mm-hmm. And that's a good chapter.
I know, right? Everybody says that. We have consensus there.
Hey, Jennifer.
Yeah.
When you said you were asking how do you know your eternal self, is that also where the patterning comes in, where you can kind of get a peek at yourself by looking at what you've lived and then peeking that way?
I'm not sure how to answer that.
Who is that talking to?
That's Denise.
Denise on the phone.
Did you answer her?
I don't know how to answer that.
What's the question again, Denise?
I don't know what her question was.
Well, what I'm talking about is Jennifer was asking the question of how do you know your eternal self? And what I was asking was, can you see it through peeking at it, through like the corner of your eye, through the patterning of what you're living? Because the patterning shows what you care about, and what you care about seems to be where my passion is, and where my passion is also, I would think, the same kind of thing that I'm proud of. And so in that, there's something that gets me excited about certain things in my life, and only certain things, and other things I really don't care about. And to me, that's a little glimpse in there. But I don't know if that's true, so that's my question. Does that make sense now?
Well, I think we tumbled over that today in our afternoon discussion, and there was something about, I got to find the passage. Oh, 150, number 150 in Eternal Religion 2, to Merchant Life, page 62, it said, essentially, like, where was it?
It's soup.
Well, anyway, I gotta find it. Oh, it was 149. When everything's going smoothly, your thoughts and actions are in harmony, you are not necessarily in harmony with life or with yourself as you truly desire. So we had a long discussion about that.
And how do we interpret the proud things? Like, do you substitute things in, or...
What's all that green shit?
This is called salad.
Did you get an answer, Denise?
No.
I don't think so. I heard Andrew was referring to number 149, about that things, I guess your thoughts and actions can be in harmony, but not necessarily with the world around you or with life around you or something like that.
No, it doesn't
And so if what you're looking, so what I was kind of, you know, extrapolating or whatever, was that, you know, does that mean what I'm looking at with my own patterning, I don't know, I guess do I look at that relative to how harmonious it is with life? I don't know, I guess I didn't quite understand where that was going. I was trying to relate it relative, but no, I don't think I did get an answer.
Try to clarify your question.
Okay, you had asked, how do you know your eternal self? Mm-hmm. And I was asking if you could look kind of through the corner of your eye and get a peek of it based on what you're living, you know, like the patterning of what you're living.
Like your
because
actions?
What you're living is what you're, what's important to you. Because there's certain things in life that are important to me that's not important to you or
right.
important
like,
to other people.
Like where
and why do
your
I keep
energy?
Focusing on certain things that I'm focusing on? But I do. I focus on certain things consistently through my life.
Yeah.
And so is that not, and but am I living that harmoniously? Well, yeah, in some areas, no, not necessarily. But, and I can see where 149 could pop in right there. But, yeah, I still think that there's something to that. So I don't know if you guys were talking about that. You were asking how you know your eternal self. So is that really a way that you can know your eternal self by all this? Times that you just kind of stop and focus on certain areas because for whatever reason that's important to you over and over and over again. Doesn't that reveals a flavor of me of some sort, whether it's a harmonious flavor, that's I think maybe another conversation, but it's a flavor of me, and so I'm wondering if that's a way to do it. Does that make more sense?
That's what Roger's saying.
Okay, so stop, because we're trying to
answer. Can I tell you how we defined eternal being today? Ego.
Yeah.
Ego.
Go for it.
Ego.
I thought
we defined
okay, ego so one thing, okay. One thing right. is that you, I see what you're saying about like where you spend your energy and how that could be a glimpse of your eternal self or a pattern of your eternal self. But then it just depends, I think, on if you're proud of those actions, and that would be, to me, the difference between your eternal self pattern or your personal being pattern.
I get stuck on the word proud. Can you define what you mean by proud?
Would you be willing to do it again or forever and ever?
Well, I think the things that I'm talking about are the things that I just kind of can't help but not do. You know, I have to do them, you know. It's just for whatever reason, I just feel an attraction to doing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in that regard, yeah. I guess I can't help it. It's just, I don't know. But, you know, how I do it is a whole nother thing, and I think that's what 149 is about. I don't know if that's true, but I'm guessing. So, was that Susan that was talking about ego?
Yeah.
So explain what that means. What happened with that?
I have to get my book. What passage was that we were talking about that time?
Ego wasn't in a passage. It was something.
Well, when we defined, when
came
we defined
up in the discussion.
Ego was the eternal being.
Misty? Yeah, but I still think it was an aside. I don't think
it
had anything to do
aside,
with the passage.
Yeah, it
wasn't in the book.
To do
with
yeah.
The book. But we defined.
Yeah, but we had defined ego as eternal being, not eternal being as ego.
It's one direction.
Well, I don't know if it's One Direction, but I just, that's how we were talking about it.
Okay, so say that again, ego as eternal being, but not eternal being as ego.
I don't know
that
about the other way around. You'd have to ask Roger. I know that when we asked Roger what is eternal being, he said, no. When we asked Roger what is ego, he said eternal being.
Eternal self.
Eternal self. But I can't say that he wouldn't want it the other way. I just, we didn't talk about it.
I wonder if the ego, the eternal, if the ego could be the eternal self, but the eternal self bigger and consists of more than just the ego, maybe? I don't know. Huh. Okay.
It is the eternal self.
Huh?
It is the ego is the eternal self.
That's Simone.
Maybe you're asking the wrong question, Denise.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking of a different one. So the ego, I remember a long time ago talking about the ego with Roger about it being kind of like an interface between life, the way I was understanding it. And it's a helpful thing, you know, it's a good thing. It has its kind of role and place and whatever. But if the eternal being is that interface, then what's beyond the eternal being? Because it's just interfacing with the universe, so the eternal being is like the go-between between like my mind and the universe, in a sense, and that's ego.
I don't know that you can blend the two conversations. Like, it may be that the defining ego by saying it was eternal self was just in the context we were talking about it today. Like, I don't know.
Right, no, that's true. I was definitely putting pieces together. Yeah. Okay. So is Roger there?
Yeah.
He's
So what's ego?
He's got some nice food going into his mouth at the moment.
Oh. Well, is there any truth to what I was saying about kind of merging the two conversations? Did I understand that right? That the eternal being, that the ego is kind of the interface, I guess, between the universe and us or whatever. And that's the eternal being that's doing that, interfacing between basically the universe and kind of, I guess, our mind, what we think we are, conscious, whatever. And does that make sense? Can somebody ask him that? Because he can totally not hear my voice. I know that. I am the wrong octave.
Are you listening to her, Roger? Hello? Are you listening to her?
No.
He's busy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, we just all got in here with that place. You read 149 to us?
She doesn't have it.
She's not.
What makes you think she has a book?
She doesn't have one.
And when you say 149, what do you mean by
she was talking about 149,
because
so I asked her to read it.
I read it. Over what section?
Oh, she didn't have a book. I forgot that. Okay.
Unless she's on Dropbox, or she doesn't.
Nope. Only people that came to the gathering have that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Not even the other one, though.
Denise, would it surprise you to know that whatever you are living and actioning right now is your eternal being?
No, actually, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think we have anything more than that or less than that. I mean, not to make it sound limiting, but it's kind of like, so I always go back to that bicycle, and we're steering that bicycle. And it's like we're always doing that. It's like that's what we have. We have choices, and we have, I mean, in the sense of we can focus our actions in certain directions. And so, yeah, I totally believe that.
Well, how about, would it surprise you to know you don't need to focus your directions, your actions in a direction?
Yeah, that it doesn't have to be a forced thing in a sense. It could be a more...
Are we already a focus?
Allowing kind of thing. Is that what you mean?
No, it's more a matter of, as far as I understand it anyway, Denise, it's more a matter of, are you having made a choice about what your action is, are you prepared to live that eternally and have that done unto you? And it may seem cumbersome, but it is that simple. And then as you're living that, emergent will be this eternal self that we are, that is, that we're living.
Is it emergent is the eternal self, or emergent is your awareness of the eternal self?
No, the emergent self itself will be emergent from the action we're taking. We're being really rude to you, Denise. They're all shoveling food into our face. The timing of such was not very nice for your involvement. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I thought the dinner break. No. Sorry. It's like 10:30 my time.
Oh, wow.
At this point. So I'm not hungry, and I'm okay, and I'm not offended.
Okay.
And no, I'm glad everyone's eating. That's good. Potlucks are great. I miss them. But it sounds like you guys are all having a really good good time, good gathering, and there's a lot of connections, it sounds like. Is that true?
Well, we're having a good time. I think from my point of view, today was a very fruitful day. Expanded my understandings tremendously.
Okay.
And you don't have access to the book and you don't have the details. I don't know what the plans are eventually, whether you will ever be. Yeah, I should be able to access it eventually, but it's one of the best writings that Roger has ever done. And he's explained things in more detail and greater clarity in one package than I know I've been exposed to. And unless you could read it in front of you, I'm not sure I could do much justice to what we went through today. Other than I discovered that I am very thoroughly in my own way, out of fear of losing control over my life, and blocking access to this marvelous, expansive, eternal being I can be if I just let myself let it through and be expressed. And it's nothing I need to do per se, other than kind of get out of my own way and recognize that I have nothing to lose and everything to gain by communing with my eternal self, and together just living a very expansive and perceptive life. It was a marvelous awakening for me today.
That sounds huge, right on. Cool. What's the image of that? Can you share the image that you have of you doing that? I want to understand more, and I get how important it is to understand the images.
Well, one of the things that I don't know if you were here when we did the Halloween thing, and I was samurai, and you were that hippie chick, right?
I was a Peruvian shaman woman, okay?
I guess that reveals my filters. I thought you looked like this really cute hippie chick. Sorry about that. But you will recall our samurai.
I remember the samurai. I love that Halloween. That was really, really a cool idea, and it felt nice to embody that with costume. That was so cool, and it was fun interacting with everybody else with all their different lives.
In any event, the basic piece of the samurai story is that I went through in that lifetime all the training. I was fully qualified. I was amongst the best in the school. But when it came time to graduate, I was going to be assigned to a lord. And that's the function of samurai of the day, was to be the protector of the lord that I was assigned to. And I refused. And rather than be assigned to a lord, I dropped out. Because I wasn't going to let anything or anything have authority over me. And similarly here, then we had quite a discussion about 5% of existence in the universe is in light, and another 95%, roughly speaking, is in dark matter. It's unseen, but science can detect that it's there. It has mass that indicates that it must be in that range, about 95% more than what we can see. So if that's part of the universe, if that's the way the universe is, and we're of the universe, then that's it's reasonable to assume that that kind of ratio exists for us. And so then that our eternal selves made some choices about coming alive. And that they came alive into the light and only came alive enough to be able to have a focus and be able to appreciate coming alive in a body. The remaining 95% of us remains dark. And that's in dark, it's full of expansion and perception. And that when each of us came across into the light, as I say, it seems that we came just enough to be able to focus into experiencing the life in a body. In one way or another, we've resisted bringing into the light the rest of us, as individuals, never mind the rest of the crowd. And that the consistency for me is that in my life, in my past lives, in other lives that I, besides samurai, that have been brought to my attention, I remember, there is this reluctance to be fully involved, and it's holding back for fear that I will lose control or I will lose my own authority. And in that, in myself as a loner body, I've blocked myself from the 95% of who I am as an eternal being. That was my great awakening today, Denise, that I was actively engaged in blocking my own awareness of 95% of who I really am. And that I saw that the eternal self has far more to offer to the communion with us in our loner bodies than I ever began to realize. And opening the door by thoroughly communioning and stopping this resistance, or just forget it, it's out of the question anymore, there's no need to protect my own authority. I will just simply expand myself in communion with the totality of who I am. I had not realized how, what an influence and what strength there was in the dark side, the unseen side. And what I can now,
I know,
the dark side. That's so intriguing, isn't it? But it's no longer this mystery out there. It's this thing that I can bring alive in the light. And it's just absolutely marvelous to have that realization, Denise. So when you ask, how can you tell your eternal self? Well, you can tell what you are living, and you know that's the eternal self that you're living. It's that, it really is that simple.
Wow, that's huge. Thank you for sharing all of that. That's a great explanation. I like how you, I really got into the image of the dark matter. That's so cool. Wow, that's huge. And so you were blocking your expansion of who you are. You were blocking your own ability to bring it to the light or manifest into form. Is that also another way of saying it? Because that's what the light is, right?
That's well, that's, yeah.
When you bring it to physics level, it's light. I love this whole thing.
Uh-huh. Well, it's Denise, it's in the dark. It's unseen, but it's physical and real. And the process of living it in communion is I'm bringing other aspects of myself, the greater self, into the light, meaning I am giving it life. I'm bringing it alive.
When you were controlling, you were limiting it down to a really small way of being, and now you're choosing to expand out. And so instead of trying to control down, you're expanding out, and you have more power or control in a sense. I mean, control maybe isn't the right word, but what you were trying to protect before, having authority, you almost have more authority by expanding out. Is that true?
Well, yes. And the way I put it, eventually, that I could put it into words, is that contrary to what I've believed all these years, I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. But I held that if I gave over to the eternal self, I would lose me, and maybe the eternal self would take over. And I see that that's actually rather nonsensical now, that as I communion, I don't lose me, I gain me in a huge, huge more. I don't want to put it together like I caused something, but there is, I have nothing to lose and everything to gain, means that in the communion, I am all of that. And I bring any and all of it into the light, meaning I give it life in my life.
And you get yourself back, and then some. If you remember, like with the Ojai stuff years ago, with you got to be willing to give up your partner like totally and completely. And when you do, you can get your partner back. I mean, it's that kind of thing, where but you need to be willing. And it sounds like you were willing to kind of give yourself up, and in that you got yourself back and then some. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Well, I guess it could be put that way, but for me the realization was just simply there's nothing to lose. So it wasn't a matter of giving myself up. I realized that there was nothing to lose, that I had been protecting something that didn't need protection.
Cool. Wow. This is a great story. I can't wait to hear how your life unfolds from today on.
Me too. And it's going to be fascinating to see what's emergent now.
You sound different, actually. You sound lighter.
Oh, I am.
Does he seem lighter, you guys? Does he seem different in person?
Aside from a light glow, no.
Even my wife says.
What?
Am I lighter?
Now from 3 days ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, right now, yeah.
We'll see. Actions over time, right? But that's cool. That's a great epiphany and a great explanation. Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate it.
Quite welcome, Denise. I look forward to seeing you in person sometime.
I think I'm a lot closer to you guys now.
How long are you going to stay there?
Could you hear that, Denise?
Yeah, I did. Indefinite right now. There's no plans of going anywhere else, but but it doesn't mean I'm locked here either. You know, we might go somewhere. But for now, it's home. Yeah, it's good.
Here now.
So this is Monday night, right?
It is Monday night.
Jennifer's all, call in. It's Monday night, because we were talking a little bit ago and she was coming into the thing. And so I called in. So that's why I appeared during dinner time. It's Monday night. And I had just gotten back from a trip, like literally, and I was kind of in a daze, and I'm glad she called. So I'm really grateful to be here tonight. Thanks for everybody sharing. And I look forward to reading 149.
Are you finished?
We can start there. Where?
I'm listening. I'm
here. Why did you suggest 149 now? I don't remember what.
You saw her in what section?
In the religion.
And she didn't have
two.
A book.
The one we just read? So 149.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because Denise had said that, you know, looking at the things you love and you're excited about indicates your eternal self. And so I said, what it brought to mind for me, that one we read today, which was just because you're in harmony, just because things are going great, doesn't necessarily mean that you're at all, you know, not discontent.
Okay.
You're going to be doing all that. That, you
that
love
is what
this
says. 149 says, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
When everything is going smoothly and your thoughts and actions are in harmony, and they are in harmony with the flow and results of random events and conditions all around, you are not necessarily in harmony with life or with yourself as you truly desire. For under all of this show, you may be quite discontent.
You know, a lot of people go with that follow your bliss thing. And so bliss for a lot of people is whatever makes them happy. And that can be totally discontent in action.
Like a overcoming something.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can be heard when you are so far away from the microphone.
I think you'd like me to stop.
Did you get an electronic copy? I thought you got a hard copy.
She's going to pick mine up. I gave mine to Gina.
And where's Gina going to be?
Where's Gina?
Oh.
She went back to Oahu.
But Denise is...
Where's Denise? Just New Mexico.
Oh.
Where did you guys end today?
They didn't get much past that.
157.
I took them off of reading this stuff. Get them on talking about it in real life.
That's good.
But they didn't understand anything.
Oh.
You keep talking about dark matter. You don't understand this.
What do I illustrate for my misunderstanding, please?
Dark matter is keep it in is mind.
Mind.
Okay.
So you keep these things in mind rather than living them and forming them and bringing them out.
But
and you keep them in mind to talk about them.
Keep them in mind.
But keep them in that, then you keep it in dark matter.
When you talk about them, you keep them in dark matter?
Sure, because you haven't formed anything. You're just talking about it.
Can mind be active, though?
What?
Can mind be active?
Sure.
So, how does that work with dark matter?
That's what I said. You're using dark matter all the time until you're talking it to death and don't understand what the hell is going on.
So dark matter can be active, but not organized.
Well, you're doing just exactly what I said. You keep talking dark matter and you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out, what it is.
It doesn't do any good to keep talking about dark matter.
Not even to understand it?
Not that way, no.
How should we understand it?
I keep telling you, dark matter needs to have a different relatability.
Yeah.
Dark matter is things kept in mind, not brought to the light.
And not brought to light?
To the light.
Up to the light.
It's kind of like an architect dreaming up a building, but not bringing it to mind. Not bringing it to making it real. That's what dark matter is. Keeping it in mind, but not doing anything about it.
Okay.
See, that's what you did with your client. You brought the thing out of mind and into an active relationship. That's what we're talking about here. You brought it out of dark matter.
Always the one who
into your daily life.
Like you brought a lot out onto the paper.
I don't know, this is a lot of bullshit. This is just...
You said you did a lot of auto writing, though.
This is that just you didn't get you compose. To try to think.
Huh?
This is just try and get you to think.
Well, it does.
That's exercise.
Are you responsible for all that green grass, Susan?
Yeah, the salad?
Yeah.
Did you eat yours?
Barely.
You go ahead. He ate it all.
But I'm not a horse. Of course.
Hey, Roger, I have a constructive question for you.
I'm ready.
All right.
Finally.
So let's assume that for a long time I've been reading dark matter stuff, OCAB and forming images and trying to relate to dark matter. How would you recommend reading this?
What?
How would you recommend reading this material so that I would I would understand that it was mind?
Are you putting it in your life?
Dark matter? I mean this understanding? Well, I guess
that's what I said. Stop talking about dark matter.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with you. This has been a really great...
Don't mention dark matter with me again.
Okay, so then I've been reading about this stuff you wrote, and I didn't make the translation to mind. So when I'm reading it, how would you recommend I read it to really get that?
Put it in your life. Put it actively in your life.
Remember, today Patrick had to decide if he wanted to stay in mind and not be able to do anything.
Relieved
of all the anything.
Yeah.
Or to participate.
That was what the book was about, to see if you would put it into life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, because the way I read it, I didn't.
Because the focus was too narrow.
Yeah, I didn't.
It was only on drugs. So the judge only involved himself with drugs.
That book. Okay.
And ignored everything else.
I thought it was that book. There's a judge who's gotten a lot of national recognition for a system of probation that it does. It focuses on the worst offenders, the repeat offenders. This guy's in Oahu. He invented the system of like quick punishment. You know, if somebody breaks the law, they break the terms of probation, they go to jail for like 2 days and they get back out. And you just keep doing it. You're trying to associate the behavior with the consequence so that they'll decide, gosh, I don't want to keep doing this. Otherwise, it just tends to go on and on, and they break the law and they break the law, and there's all kind of social damage, and they end up going to prison, which costs a lot. Not very effective. But Roger's talking about was a lot of the guys in his program are, they all get drug tested, every one of them.
The whole program is aimed at drugs.
There is, and there's a very strong correlation that they've made between drug use and crime, across the board. But there are a number of people, like I knew one guy who went to this probation program. He wasn't a drug offender. Well, see, it's interesting because he was getting into it, and then I hope he quit. But anyway, technically he wasn't a drug offender. So, you know, what do you do with those people? But anyway, the point was it was a way to put a program together that would express this whole thing of second becoming into a system that is supposed to be about, you know, getting people back into their life in a way that is beneficial to them and everybody else.
And but
I was looking at...
And what did he say? The focus was too narrow?
I thought we were talking about the dark matter stuff, so I missed that. But I guess he was saying the program was so focused on drugs and it wasn't use and abuse, and it wasn't really looking at giving a person a new start in life. That's the way I was approaching it. I mean, yeah, you can keep slapping their hand, but then what do? Most of them don't have the skills and the education to really get on their feet.
But you were too afraid to do anything.
Well, I did not want to take your recommendation of going in and telling the judge that his program was a problem. I mean, I
never said any of those things. I never said confront the judge.
Okay.
You assumed that.
Okay.
So, since it's Monday night, are we going to do something else, or are we going to carry on reading and talking?
And I don't guess we're going to do anything but talk.
What did we do last Monday night?
Questions.
Oh, that's right. Questions on the book. That's right.
Questions.
Yeah, that's right. I think we're way into stuff that nobody's read yet, so we probably don't really have questions prepared.
Or another question from the... Someone in the black box having another question?
Not right now, not for me.
Well, so again, there was my question was, so as I read this, well, I'm not supposed to say the word again, but anyway, yeah, how do I read this stuff? And should I just be reading? I didn't mean to ask this question.
Let it flow.
I mean, maybe I'm supposed to be reading this stuff and make the connection between dark matter and mind. The 5% being what I express, and maybe that should be with everything that we're reading here.
Just call it mind.
Yeah, obviously, that's clear as of now.
Then did we get into there's more minds, different minds? Did we get after we established that it was mind, did we get into a discussion of other minds?
That was place time.
Oh, place time. That's what we're on. Okay, well, I would suggest that we continue reading then if we're all here. Can we do that? Because we don't seem to have anything else to move from, at least on the floor currently. Sure.
Yeah.
Anybody vote otherwise? I mean, I'm open to other votes. Are you good with us reading, Roger? Were we picked up? Okay.
I gotta clear this off, so I got room.
Did Angela call in?
I put her on Skype. I don't know. I haven't seen. I was washing dishes. Excuse me. She didn't call in that I'm aware of. Ow.
You put her on Skype and then close down your laptop and put it over there. You put Angela over there by herself.
Well, I texted her, but nothing yet. No, she's not alive.
What'd you say? You're on 157? 158?
Yes.
Yeah, she didn't reply. She's out for whatever reason.
What do we have going here? Tape. Hey! Jennifer
don't
has grabbed the mic.
Don't everybody fight over the microphone.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-oh. Oh, somebody lost.
Bar came on.
Is that the coming on sound?
No.
I thought that was ding.
That's the
coming on.
Sound.
Dun.
He's
is
going
it?
Off.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well. He's not there.
Probably Jim leaving.
Could be.
Are you still on, Denise?
Find out who's on the black box.
Hey, roll call on the black box, please.
I'm here.
That's Denise registering a vote.
Denise.
Anyone else?
Denise here.
So
thank
we
you.
Know whether we have to talk at all to the black box.
Yeah.
Or include the
Jim
black
there?
Box.
Did Jim accidentally roll over on the on the off button?
Or anybody
I'm
else?
Here, I'm here.
Oh, who's that? Might be percent. I can't tell.
Didn't hear it.
I heard
there's
somebody.
A voice, but
okay, so
I took the numbers.
The point is, there's someone on.
Oh, Gina?
She took the number and put it in her cell phone.
Oh, okay. Could be Gina. Though. The world may never know.
157?
Oh, wow. How did I get there? I think that's where we ended off, yes.
In place time,
yes.
Though things are separate and different, they are not separated by a measurable distance or an extent of time. Actually, many different things can exist at the same place at the same time. This occurrence, as in dreams, is improperly considered to be oneness or spirit or consciousness. It is actually a perception in place-time, not space-time. That's cool. In an expanding universe, that began everywhere and collapses to everywhere, such that everywhere is the center of the universe, wherever you are. That is your place at the center of the universe. For though your body covers and protects you, identifies you, and enables you to be alive and express yourself, your body, for starters, gives you a place to be. Actually, it is a place to call home. Your material body and personal self seem to exist in space-time, while you also exist everywhere, in all places simultaneously, for there is no place that is not your place. But you also exist where your focus is, and you observe and interact with all others and all things in their place, without a measurable distance or interference between you.
It's okay, I'm thinking about that one, so appreciate the pause.
Yeah, I know, I'm just wrapping my mind around it.
Yep.
If we ask whether or not you want to continue eternally in life,
what do you read?
160 on page Emergent Life 64.
So 159 seems to exist in space-time while you also exist elsewhere.
No, everywhere.
Everywhere. I misread that. Okay, yeah. That's...
Yeah, so there's no place that is not your place.
Yeah.
And you exist where your focus is. So is that kind of like what we were talking about yesterday with Ken, where he was saying, I'm here, this is my sphere, but I can also think about my family down the street.
Mm. I think that was, he was talking about what here and now is to him. That was his different descriptions of, or focuses for here and now.
Huh.
But I don't, I'm not saying it doesn't apply here. I guess, yeah. Yeah, yeah, because that's where his focus is. Okay.
If we ask whether or not you want to continue eternally in life, you would probably say, yes, of course. But if we ask whether you want to continue eternally in this place, you would probably say, no, certainly not.
Hmm.
Why the difference? Doesn't this indicate that you have little or no interest in existing in space, which has no meaning or significance for you, but your existence in place is of great importance to you?
Somehow that sounds right. I'm not quite sure I understand what that means. I mean, I don't know what existence in place means.
That is my question too.
Is place my perception? My.
We said earlier that the place is my body.
Where you are.
Where I find a home in. That was in 58. Okay. Your body, for starters, gives you a place to be.
Hmm.
Actually, it is a place to call home.
Mm-hmm.
Versus out in space, which doesn't exist.
But this says, doesn't this indicate that you have little or no interest in existing in space?
Right.
But your existence in place is of great importance to you.
Yeah, it's not a trick.
And
it's
so
not a trick statement.
The first question is whether or not you want to continue eternally in life. You would say yes, of course. Is that indicating space or place?
Place.
Well, I guess it's space, because then the next question is, but if we ask you whether you want to continue eternally in this place, you'd say no.
In this body, then?
Is that even true? Would you?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Would you answer it that way?
And how does that say, but your existence in place is of great importance to you, when my answer was no, certainly not. But the other one, space, I have little or no interest in existing in I'm lost. I don't understand.
Hey, Roger, could you talk to us a little bit about place time?
We're finding passage 160 to be quite confusing.
I'm reading from ahead.
We're stuck in 160. And Andrew wants to talk about
stuck in 160 for Pete's sake?
We're trying to make sense of it.
Let's just go to 161.
You should know the answer to that.
I should?
That's a great struggle with you.
Interesting.
Finding a place.
Finding a place.
You don't want whatever place you're in, you don't want to leave the place you're in.
Are you talking about, like, physical place?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever place I'm in, I don't want to leave it?
You don't want to leave it, but you don't want to live in the other place.
In the other place.
So you stay there by default.
Oh.
Your relationship.
I understand that, yeah. I understand that.
I've asked you that question thousands of times. And you say, I have no place to go.
And you said, why don't you create a place to go?
I say, why don't you create a place to go? That's 160.
Okay. Eternally in this place, you would say so, no. Because we're continuing eternally in life, you would say yes. Okay, so is eternal life space-time or place-time?
Space-time or place-time?
Eternal life is both?
Place-time.
As a loner, it is place-time. As eternal, it is space-time, would say.
No, place-time. What's it say again?
Maybe it's memory.
What's it say again?
I don't know. Well, which one?
Oh, just the question.
Well, 159 says your material body and personal self seem to exist in space-time.
Seem to exist.
Maybe your eternal self is place-time for you.
Place or space?
Place-time. Your body is in space-time. I'm just suggesting maybe your eternal self gives you place-time.
Place 58 says your body, for starters, gives you a place to be.
For starters, yes.
Yes.
That's
actually
true.
Actually, it is a place to call home. That's to meet a loner body.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. I just read 161 and made that suggestion. The place for you to exist in beyond today is for you to create. Up to now, you have struggled to continue or earn continuance, but have given yourself no place to continue in.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking it might be memory or eternal self. There was no definition, right, in the margin?
Mm-hmm.
I missed that one.
No.
Okay. Roger, what does place-time mean to you?
Where you are.
Okay. Where I am.
Where you are or where you want to be.
Okay.
So that's where. Whether eternal or personal.
All right.
Any other question?
No.
No? You're good? Really?
Yeah.
You're not?
I'm not sure I'm clear. But if we're talking about distance, it's space-time.
If you want to continue in life, awarefully prepare a place for you to continue. Oh, you are preparing a place for yourself by default, such that your place will be much as you are creating for yourself today. Is more of the same really what you want? Of course not. But then you don't really want to change either, do you? You want to be and continue much as you are and have that be okay, which it is, but it's not okay with you. So why continue what you don't really want? If you don't want to change yourself, even to accommodate yourself, and you don't, why not change your place? For certainly there must be a place for you somewhere, just as you are. Actually, where you are today is the place you are preparing for yourself. Is this the place you want to continue in? Obviously, you only exist somewhere in a place, so why haven't you prepared the place you desire? Such that here you are today, rightfully feeling out of place, and you haven't really done anything about that. Isn't that sad? Are you waiting for someone other than you to prepare a place for you? Why do you really expect to do that, and why? In John chapter 14, verse 2, it is recorded that Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." Are you wanting to be told that a place is prepared for you? That's for you to do. Is your life today really your place? If we ask what you truly desire in life, could you ever answer this question? But if we ask what place you desire in life, you could certainly begin putting together an answer to this question, couldn't you? Your choice of continuing or not continuing seems very limited, doesn't it? But your option to continue or not continue in this place or some other place is unlimited, isn't it? Maybe that's a place to begin anew. Unless, of course, like almost everyone, you are not really willing to accept new ideas that are radically different than what you already believe. Well, let's see. Without any evidence or validation, God is declared to exist and be immortal, never changing. In this, God is heralded as divine and infinite, knowing no bounds or limits. Yet this unlimited God cannot be individual or particular. Buddhism says that if you meet a man walking along the road declaring he is Buddha, kill him immediately, for he is a false god. In being all-knowing, God is declared omniscient, but this omniscient God cannot know, express, or share particular knowings. God is all-powerful, but specific actions lessen God's omnipotence. While you can do wondrous things, God being omnipresent, God has no particular place to be present as you have. Actually, God has no place in the universe. Can we say that all that's true for eternal self too?
That's a great question, Ariana.
Eternal self has no place in the universe?
Well, we were substituting God earlier for eternal for God, so
eternal self is everywhere. There's no particular place.
Eternal self is said to be perfect and cannot be less than perfect or know imperfection. Isn't that sad? Eternal self is also said to be unconditionally and universally loving. But in that, eternal self cannot love personally or in a particular way. While you, on the other hand, can love who you want and as you truly desire.
It's very cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
You are temporarily alive today in the light as an individual, as an embodied self, as a personal being, and you want to continue being alive eternally. But there is no spiritual reality or place with mythical gods and virgins where you can be eternally and blissfully alive. For heaven and spiritual is a construct of language, not of the universe. Despite everything you've been told, you will be alive physically or not at all. You cannot be alive spiritually. It is desirable for you to be physically alive eternal. Is it desirable for you to be physically alive eternally? For if not, then this life is truly meaningless and pointless for you. But if it is desirable for you to be physically alive eternally, how is this possible? Can you describe even one possibility? Anyone?
Hang on, think about it.
I would like to, I'd like to know an answer to that.
Well, what's the question again?
Can't you think of one impossible thing?
One impossible thing?
Yeah. Being alive eternally, physically. Isn't that an impossible thing?
Oh, yeah.
No. I think everything's possible.
You don't know, but don't you think it's impossible?
No. I think there's some possibility. Huh?
Then list a possibility.
I'm thinking.
Now I'm going to ask you how.
Fair warning.
Physically alive eternally.
without pausing?
What?
You mean without dying and coming back and dying and coming back, but just one body eternally?
Well, you tell me. You're the one that's going to come up with three impossibles before breakfast tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Three impossible what?
Ways of being alive eternally.
Three impossible ways. You went away, but they're all impossible. So you're saying they're all impossible?
I don't know. I'm going to ask her how.
Just stay alive. Keep putting.
Lots of vitamins.
And memory. Yeah. Memory.
Well, I think we talked earlier about you came to life by transfiguring into existence, or from existence into life in a form.
That in a form that we call body.
Yeah. So can
and
you not...
then you said there are others other forms of living that we don't call body or we don't see.
The question was being alive physically.
Yes.
So yeah. Does this keep you alive physically when Roger's gone?
I don't know, does it?
I think so. That's one way.
But I don't get, but I'm not alive physically though, isn't that?
What if the person we're talking about staying alive physically isn't the body?
That's what I meant before.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So when Roger said he was teaching in the Parthenon, and he's still alive. He happens to have been in different bodies, but it was all physical life. There was no end to it. It's like I've been driving since I was 17. It's all different cars.
But is that a physical aliveness eternally?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, no, I mean, you can talk like recurring.
But that's how he's expressing, like we were saying earlier, eternal being needs a embodiment to express. So he's, I mean, the embodiment keeps you alive. Just because it goes from body to body doesn't seem like that doesn't mean that it's ended. The body keeps it happening.
Eternal is like a time.
Yeah. So what's the question? Can you...
It was here in number 174.
Can you describe even one possibility in 174?
Yeah. One possibility of...
Okay.
Of
being physically alive
eternally.
Eternally.
Yeah. How is this possible?
I don't see how that isn't being physically alive eternally. That which the teacher in the Parthenon is still alive. Just happens to be in this body now, but he's been in different bodies all the way along, but he's physically alive. And he can continue to do that. That's, to me,
so was that Roger creating a past, or was that the teacher in the Parthenon communing and saying his thing forever? Does it matter?
Does it matter? Can we answer that?
So
can you help?
Can one way be creating a past? And can another way be community, not eternal self, so you know yourself later. That's two.
So I know who I am, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I am alive physically.
Yeah,
but you are.
But I are continuously.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Not continuously?
Does it? How does knowing who I am continue me physically alive?
Because you are the embodiment of Parthenon teacher.
So we know who Thomas Jefferson was. That doesn't keep him alive.
Yeah, that's memory. Memories, I mean.
Even if Thomas Jefferson knew who Thomas Jefferson was, that doesn't necessarily keep him alive.
Because you've been living the same emprise as the teacher in the Parthenon.
Now you're talking about me, not talking about Thomas Jefferson.
I have been talking about you, yeah. Track.
You didn't say anything. You're just throwing words out there, expecting me to jump.
We were saying that you are embodying Hothir, which keeps him alive physically. No?
But so what?
Well, is that not than one possibility.
So what?
I don't know so what.
That's just the answer. That was the question. Can you think of one possibility? Yep, we thought of one.
So what just merely means explain it. How in the hell does embodying Hothir today keep me alive eternally?
Because embodying him, he is alive in this body.
So? What about 10 years from now? Or as a doctor said, you're a dead man. What about 1 ounce past 2 weeks? The doctor gave me 2 weeks.
As long as you are actioning...
As long as I'm moving, they can't bury me.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you're actioning the same emprise, if this body dies, you continue in another one.
And then you're living eternally until you die.
See, you had the answer and you didn't even know you had the answer. That's reoccurring. You said that from the beginning, but you didn't know you had the answer. So I'm asking you.
Asking what?
How?
How can I be alive eternally, physically? Recurring.
Recurring.
There's one.
I'll probably read this in my next life and say, what a crock of shit.
And you might write it better.
That's right, I might.
Different, yeah.
Improve upon it, expand upon it, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Recurring is one possibility.
And memory, is that not another possibility? No, physically alive.
That doesn't do you any good. You have to be alive in order to know you're alive.
So memory is physical, but it's not necessarily alive.
What?
I just said, so memory is physical stuff, but it doesn't.
So let's assume I remember all of this. That doesn't do me any good.
No, I said memory. That
he's,
it occurs.
He's clarifying that memory is physical but not alive.
Okay.
Is there any other possibilities, or is that the one?
I think there are others. You can go from body to body to body, from life to life to life, with no gap in between. That's one.
With no gap in between.
Yeah. You die on one exhale, and your next inhale is your next life. That kind of thing.
But only if you're recurring, yeah?
Well, I take recurring to be, you know, physically, noticeably alive, and then I think we said, like, dropped to a level just below a kind of consciousness, and then physically alive again. I took a note on that earlier, where I put it.
Well, it looks like this has come to a Monday night normal. Nobody says anything. We're
no, hang on. Recurring. Something occurring and then not occurring, and then occurring again, but below a level of consciousness.
But nobody's saying anything. So here we are, dead in the water. Is there anybody out there in the black box?
Denise is this one.
Don't worry, they'll chime in.
Oh, yeah.
Stirring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here we go.
175. It is frequently claimed that all things were divided into this and that, which is a duality, though a non-opposing duality, so you can know yourself. And in this, you are to know who you are by first knowing who you are not. If who you are and who you are not are so intertwined that you cannot know who you are without first knowing who you are not, then you cannot know who you are not without first knowing who you are. And knowing who you are makes who you are not irrelevant. Buddhists avoid this dilemma by declaring not this, not that, but never really answering then who or what. Language lets you say many false things that sound so right and reasonable and seem to make perfect sense, yet they are foolish nonsense you cannot do or live. So, be very careful of everything you hear and repeat. The self and universe does not know and abide by language. Therefore, just because something said about self or the universe, though it makes perfect language sense, it is not to be relied upon as true of self or of the universe.
There's a typo there on 179.
What do you mean?
Sense, language, sentence. Sense, maybe
language,
a word.
Sense.
Sometimes it's that new word.
Unfortunately, you've made language your god in life,
and in language, who are you and who you are not are too self-referential to have any real meaning. Declaration point. Einstein declared that you only know things relative to yourself. Therefore, if you don't know yourself, you cannot know anything. Is this really true for you? Religion claims you came to life to discover yourself. If this is true, how can you possibly do that?
Typo.
Where?
182. Possible.
Do that.
Possibly.
For if you don't already know yourself, how could you possibly recognize yourself if you discover yourself? And if you discover yourself, is that the self you are or the self you are not? Is that a true self or a false self? A greater or lesser you? How will you know? Your physical body will decompose and die. Will you die with your body? If you do not die with your body, are you something other than physical? Are you, as religion declares, a greater spiritual being merely having a physical experience? And is that a spiritual you that your religion declares you are to discover? If so, what do you really know about spiritual or a spiritual you? Can you describe this spiritual self? If not, how can you possibly discover a greater spiritual self? Knowing yourself is quite a problem, isn't it? For who you are and who you are not certainly doesn't solve this problem. And not this, not that, avoids the issue completely. Being an embodied spiritual being says absolutely nothing about you. What is a spiritual being? A spiritual life? If you are a spiritual being and can't know anything real about spiritual, you can't know anything real about yourself or life. And declaring everything to be consciousness existing in the now is merely a meaningless word game. Is it possible that all of this is merely in the middle of 184? Is it possible that all of this is merely a word game signifying nothing? For the only thing that really interests you is continuing in life and being aware of this, no matter who or what you are. For if you don't continue, nothing you do is meaningful or can be meaningful for long. And if you are not aware of continuing, the continuing is meaningless. Regardless of what declares you to be a spiritual being, in this, you are an unknown, unknowable being of the dark, embodied and transfigured to the light of the universe. You are nothing that has become something. Don't let that something become nothing again. For these things you are most eager to attain, you have left in the dark as spiritual, as eternal life, and a self you truly desire, and to live that self in life without discontent. This does not mean you want to continue existing as a spiritual being. You want to recognize yourself and even meet and greet yourself as an old friend and know you are continuing. However, with a new loner body and self, which isn't even you, how will you even recognize yourself?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any good answers to the good question?
No, I just see the dilemma there. You see yourself in a new loner self. How would you even recognize yourself? You know, you got different DNA, you got different memories and feelings that came with it. Yeah, it's a whole different reality.
Would you still be would it be self-evident?
If it's self-evident, wouldn't we already self-evidently know?
Well, I think if you come to life as, or you occur as a new loner being, then you probably got the same questions and unknowns. If you lived your life as aware of your eternal self, that's emergent. Then being a new loner body, is that awareness of your eternal self still emergent? Just there? I'm just saying, is it possible that that could occur? That's all I'm asking.
Say it again.
Let's say you live your life today. You live only those things you'd be willing to do forever and ever. You identify yourself as an eternal self, and you live as an eternal being today. Right? And that's an emergent awareness that you have going. When you die, you recur in a new loner body.
You want to get involved, or is this going to be a regular Monday night?
He's talking.
And so was
I. I know he's talking, so I'm asking you whether he wants
to
get involved.
Oh, whether he's going
to
be involved?
Or will we keep it just to a Monday night?
Anyway, I'm just saying, is it possible you could, having lived as an eternal being, consciously aware of yourself in that way, you die, you come up in a new loner body, is it possible that that awareness is emergent, already there, unformed? So sure. You asked, could you what did you say? Would it be self-evident? I'm just saying, is that a situation possibly that could occur in which it would be self-evident? Oh, I know who I am. I don't recognize this new interesting body, but I know who I am.
Well, it seems to me there's got to be some markers.
Okay.
And what kind of markers, as Roger suggested, he suggested an M prize to suggest. How will Roger know, recognize next time that it's continuation of those here?
You're doing that.
Because he'll recognize the markers of the M prize and the jest. Otherwise, I don't know what markers would be recognizable. In the absence of that, well, this number one, I think Brad had a little bit, and if you've established.
I cannot hear you, Patrick.
Surprisingly, you're talking very soft.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It feels like I've got a microphone.
You could get one actually pretty close to that.
I know, we should be passing
pass it around.
Pass the mic.
That in, as you suggested, Andrew, in awarefully living as an eternal being.
Today,
that certainly begins to set the stage. But in the absence of some particular marker, like the jest or the emprise, perhaps that's what will be recognizable and familiar in the next life. And it can then be seen as a recurrence of what we've been doing, the emprise and the jest that we've been doing.
I have an alternative suggestion. I haven't read ahead. But I'm thinking that, like we said, like
where
was it yesterday?
Go?
To pick up books.
To pick up the new book copies.
Picking up copies and binders.
See what we're saying, Andrew?
We said yesterday the eternal self is your ultimate nature. Yeah? It informs everything you
well,
do.
Well, I'm waiting.
What's this?
Stop bullshitting and get on with answering the question.
I thought I gave a possibility. What do we want? What else do we want?
What did you say?
I said you lived your... We moved on from what I said. So what do we... I said
you're,
was...
You're not speaking up loud enough for me to hear.
I said you live your life today as an eternal being. You recognize, identify yourself, you act as, you live as an eternal being today, in a loner body. You regenerate your body, and emerging from that, there's a whole other self that you are now living and aware of. You die, this loner body, this body dies, and this eternal self dies, recurs in a new loner body. And you asked, is it possible it could be self-evident? I'm just asking, is as you recur in a new loner body, yeah, it's different and everything, but could it be possible that you retain an awareness of yourself as an eternal being? Just asking, that's all.
He said no before.
Oh, he did?
Well, at the last gathering, I remember that.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember that.
Maybe not.
So then we have a question mark at the end of that, all that.
Yeah. I just said, so she said, is it possible that it would be self-evident? I propose that as a possibility that it would be self, where you could be born again in a loner body and recognize yourself. That would be one proposal I have. And in that, you don't need anything, any sign, anything to stimulate you, anything to get it going again. You just know yourself that way. How you want to express yourself from there is a brand new life and body to do.
What do you think?
Well,
I have no doubt that it would be self-evident. My question is, where's the awareness in that?
That one I'm not sure I can explain. For as much as you, I mean, I think to myself, as much as you have a, like, for some people, like having a sense that there's more to that, like I'm more than just this body. This might be a clearer sense of that. Oh, I am aware of myself. I've done this before.
Does anybody want to interject here?
Well, Roger, what's I think part of the missing in the discussion is in the I've offered a couple of things here, the emprise and a jest, but even before having an emprise and a jest, isn't it important to have given ourselves a past that is the provenance that can be carried forward? And then in a new life, I'll recognize the provenance, my jest, and my emprise. And that's how I will know that I am continuing.
I haven't heard any of that being spoken.
Well, I said it already.
He fleshed out a little bit more here. But yeah, uh-huh. Essentially he said that. He offered the jest and the emprise as markers that will awaken you or to recognize yourself as an eternal being now in a new loner body. That would be a way you could recognize yourself, he suggested. Did I misrepresent that?
No.
Okay.
And I added in this round that yeah. Having given ourselves a past, as you gave yourself the past with Hosea, that then that seems to me that we will have the markers that will enable us to recognize the continuance.
Markers in what form?
Well, I'll recognize my past. I will recognize my emprise, and I will recognize my jest. And if I remember what we talked about jest correctly, it's kind of plays into what is your place in the universe, and in what is your place in life. That's what the jest is.
I mean, I made an assumption here that just because you begin again in a new loner body, you don't have to necessarily go through everything that we're doing again. I'm believing there's some carry forward from your actions.
When you regenerated the prior loner body.
This one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I know. I said, yeah, okay, right. That's what I meant. I included that
you,
as a...
You said it.
Yeah.
I just repeat it now.
Okay.
I forget what you said about how or what were the things that occurred in this life that recalled for you the past life that called it up. It was something you did. Maybe was it being an architect that called up that past life of the Parthenon? Yeah.
Being an architect?
Uh-huh.
The Parthenon was a teacher. I honestly, my understanding was that he's lived his life in such a way that past makes perfect sense of everything he's done. He just always was naturally doing this, discovering how the universe works and sharing that.
But there's like signs that call those past lives up for us.
You could be right. I just was trying to offer a thing that wouldn't require signs so that you could know yourself self-evidently.
But that's the thing, without a sign, like even the markers he's talking about, the jest and the emprise, okay, but in what form, or, you know, like how would you recognize those? It's the same question.
Maybe a new loner body made accessed him who had died.
But that's interesting.
And then
accessed?
Yeah, because you can access, right?
Like,
I don't know.
Channel, like
you can. That's what the whole point of this, being able to access. So he accessed that, and
the mind of the previous.
No, the data information mind of Roger, and liked what he saw, and glommed onto it.
Okay.
Hey, what if that was your sign?
What?
A new loner body that it don't recognize as yourself. You sense yourself, but this body isn't even you, but there you are.
Mm-hmm.
What if that was your sign? Your marker? I mean, not having been through this very consciously to remember it.
Well, now having talked all of that to death.
Because no one else is offering anything, right? Raj. You want to give us a direction here?
Without coming up with an answer.
Alright.
I'm sorry.
We didn't emerge the answer. We didn't receive the answer.
We were offering a possibility. Am I coming up with an answer?
But you haven't offered possibilities.
What have I been doing then?
What?
What have I been doing then?
Bullshitting.
And what have you done in this that is not bullshitting?
Wasn't doing anything else.
You're saying you're bullshitting?
No. The idea of all of this was to awaken you to some reality rather than just bullshit.
Okay. Yeah.
But I brought all these things up before.
Oh, you're looking for some, like, maybe a new... Well, that's actually...
He's brought them up. But you didn't grab a hold of it and and set it out in clear expression. Like a book, you didn't set it out in clear expression. You didn't bring it alive to the light. You just leave it in the dark.
So M. Prize and Jess were critical parts of this.
So how?
That's a good question.
See, that's what I mean. You've been just bullshitting.
Yep.
I wasn't.
When you say it's a good question, you don't know how.
No, because I wasn't trying to use those as requirements for remembering myself in a new loner body. I was trying to say I don't care
what you were trying to say. You didn't say that.
I know, and I am not interested in including those. I'm trying to include.
Well, you should be.
Why should I be? Why should I be limited to that possibility?
I didn't say limited. You said you weren't.
I'm not interested in including those.
Because that gives you one possibility expressed that you can see and understand. That's why.
Okay. I just didn't want to be dependent on things like that. I guess that's all I was looking for.
You should be.
I should want to be dependent on something that...
Maybe that indicates your problem in life.
Which is that I don't want to be dependent on something to awaken.
You don't
want to
do
me.
Something that you'd be dependent on. Aren't you willing to do something you would be dependent on?
If I feel like that limits me, if I'm screwing
myself
over.
But maybe it doesn't
over,
limit you.
It may, that's
it's just one possibility. It doesn't limit you.
That is definitely worthy of consideration, yes.
So you could take one possibility and talk it up and talk it on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
As long as you stay on the one possibility.
Okay.
But you don't want to even do that.
So here's, it's true. This is what I can't really recognize.
How does an emprise limit you?
I don't actually think an emprise limits me. No. In my life, no. The question I was focusing on was coming alive in a new loner body you don't recognize as yourself. And I'm picturing that at the very beginning, and I haven't established an emprise in that life yet. So I was just on that first couple, I don't know what, early life. That's what I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. So can
you... You're just talking it to death. Answer my question.
No, it doesn't limit me.
Well, then why don't you talk it up?
So, let's see, what M Prize is, I have set myself in this lifetime to something that a way of living that I cannot possibly complete or accomplish in this lifetime. I'm living something that's beyond even this lifetime. That's my focus.
Beyond this lifetime.
Yeah, meaning like what I'm looking to do is more than I can accomplish in this one lifetime. I'm building and investing something that will outlive this body. That's my focus.
If you continue that in your next lifetime, haven't you continued yourself?
If I continue that in my next lifetime, I have.
Well then, that's an answer to the question. Not the answer, but an answer. And that hasn't limited you at all. You've actually in that continued yourself. Which is what the whole question was about.
I'm not sure why that is more inherently concrete.
I don't care whether you know why that is. Isn't that so?
If we want to limit it to that, yeah, okay, sure. That's a way. Yeah.
Then what's wrong with that? Why do you have to have every little nitty-gritty answer?
You don't. I was just trying to talk outside of repeating what you've always said, I guess. That's all.
If you could do an emprise in this lifetime and continue that in your next lifetime, doesn't that continue you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, why do you have to know how that occurs?
Seriously? You'll ask me how that occurs, and if I can't describe that...
Why do you have to know how it occurs? It just does. That's you just doing the same thing again. Okay. And you can be aware of yourself doing the same thing again. So you've just continued awarefully.
Mm-hmm.
End of discussion. Or you can carry on the discussion from there. Then in the next lifetime, if you carried on an emprise in your next lifetime, then the lifetime after that, haven't you awarefully continued yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that going.
Even if it doesn't have to be the same thing, it can be just any emprise that enables you to be aware of yourself, for you to continue.
I see. And so in this new loner body, you recognize that emprise and say, man, I've been doing this before. You have that sense. You recognize that self in this new loner body.
So then you've gotten out of your loner body trap.
That's true.
That seems to me a good answer. Seems to me there's not any limitation in that. You're just using the... You don't want to be limited as an excuse. And so why do you keep saying these words without bringing them up and discussion? Why do you throw these words out there and then just leave them?
Well, this last 5 or 10 minutes, I thought you were pretty heavily engaged in a conversation.
I can't hear you.
I thought this last 5 or 10 minutes, you were pretty heavily engaged in a conversation with Andrew that I didn't want to interfere with.
But you brought the words up originally. That's where he got them from.
Yes.
When you brought them up, why didn't you continue them?
Because you said, how come nobody said this before? And I had already said it before, and I think you were looking the other way and you didn't hear me.
All right, so you've already said it, but you didn't say, you didn't carry it on.
In the second round, I did. I added, carried on to it. I thought it was probably important, too, in terms of the sense of continuing, that it was important to have given myself a past in this lifetime.
Well, explain it to me.
Well, then, that the I think that I will, in giving myself a past, I am.
What is giving yourself a past got to do with it?
Oh, then in giving myself a past, I'm giving myself a provenance, and the provenance is a kind of a defining starting place about who I am.
Well, so what is this starting place?
I'll use you as an example of Hoth here. And the story that you've generated for yourself about that in your past, not only was it a story in the sense of it was something that you could talk about and share with others, but it was something that you could feel and grab onto and
so you can't absolutely. So you can't live an emprise like that?
Oh, I can.
Why
have
not?
I devoted the time to generate it, the past? No, I have not. I have not devoted.
Why not?
I think we talked about that this afternoon. I think I feared that if I got myself too deep into that, I would lose this identity of Patrick. And I That seems to make a lot of sense to me now. That's very familiar.
Makes no sense to me.
No, but it makes sense in terms of figuring out why I've been so reluctant. I have to be somehow giving myself something in that behavior, and I think I was giving myself some safety of not losing myself. That's my estimation, my guess about what
I think that's a lot of bullshit.
That it's not only Patrick, but it's that mindful mind self, the bigger self that's lodged in mind, that that's been reluctant to reveal myself too much, out of fear of losing what I had in mind.
Did you get unplugged?
No.
It's after 12. Anybody on the box?
Probably sleeping on the box.
Anybody on the black box?
We didn't hear anybody ding out, so
wake up, Jim. Time to quit.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
unless they want to just keep listening.
I'm serious. I think she
probably I was just checking them out.
So all you guys do on Monday night is talk until 8 o'clock. Stall until 8 o'clock.
And go, thank God it's over. We can hang up. No, actually, doing this here with a group of us is infinitely easier than trying to engage in this kind of conversation over the black box.
It's infinitely more enjoyable, too. Mm-hmm.
Really?
I didn't know
I didn't know you guys were doing any work over here. I mean, I thought y'all were just kind of chilling out, having ice cream, whatever.
Yeah, and sometimes there's pizza around.
For us, it was always like, you know, where's the black box? Where's the black box's answer to this? Anybody on the black board's like, we're the show. Come on, man.
Misty has returned.
It's a struggle we all feel.
Really? I didn't think you had any pressure over here. Occasionally Ken will bring up or something. You do great, by the way, Jennifer, nowadays. You're in there.
You mean you and Ken? Huh? You and Ken?
That's pretty much who only shows up. Yeah. Sometimes Susan's come a couple times.
She's usually out there.
Denise came a few times.
Serenading us with Cokie Frogs.
What? Now?
What?
Denise came.
Denise was coming.
Several times.
There you are. They need you.
Who needs me? I need to go to the bathroom, so you're going to have to wait.
Urgent.
Piss on it.
Should we keep going?
Sure. Denise yes. is hanging
woke
in there.
Up
she hasn't hung up yet. She is totally in.
Yeah, she's getting,
even
if she's asleep.
Else was on there? There was someone else.
Even if she's asleep, she's
well, we
had
somebody go out, so
yeah.
I'm sure that was
just... Who's going to
sleep together?
You want to know all the juicy gossip, huh?
His hearing works pretty good sometimes, eh?
The people on the black box.
Yeah.
Which number are we at there, Jennifer?
I think...
86.
Wait, I'm way past that. 186?
Uh-huh. Woo, what progress. Yeah, I think it is 186. Let's go.
Yep. 186 on page Emergent Life 68.
Big part of the book done. Look at this.
Yeah, well, we better hurry. We're.
I know, but we are not gonna.
Got less than a week left. If you want to continue, but won't create a particular eternal self, and live today as a personal eternal being, how will you ever identify yourself when you aren't even you, and your old memories are replaced by new ones? Do you suppose you will be able to know yourself by your actions? If so, is there anything you are doing today you will do eternally that will always identify you? Is it what you're doing as the action, or the way you do the action?
Yep, gotta clear a space, y'all.
I got it now. But Macy's in the back.
Pause.
So what's Monday night like for you guys? I picture, I've never been to your house, so I don't even know what it looks like, but I picture you two sitting.
Pat and I are on the computer texting back and forth. We're like, hey, I got a bottle of champagne. We got pizza up here, man. It's a party. Oh, off mute. He's asking who's there. Yeah, we're here. We're here. Shh, we're here.
Say something, Andrew. They're going to think we're not here.
Your turn. No, it's your turn. I answered the last one. Oh, that's right.
You guys should be doing something.
Well, you guys, we think y'all are here doing that. Listen to them having fun.
We're either at our kitchen table or in our living room.
Kitchen table. So are you like sitting? I picture you're sitting at a couch with like a speakerphone in front of you on a coffee table.
Often that's what we're. Yeah.
Are you taking notes too?
Karen's on the couch and I'm on a chair, and here's the coffee table right here, and Karen's got the computer on recording, and we got the phone with the speaker right here.
But it's late for me, so often I'm trying to do something to keep myself awake, might be down on the floor stretching. Or
I hear that sometimes, yeah. Or,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. So, yeah, for me sometimes I just get home from work, so the first part, I'm sometimes trying to get dinner while I'm listening, so I'm on mute a bit, unless I had. Like, sometimes I leave my dinner on the counter, unprepared, like,